This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and never trust a big butt in a smile. That's attributed to Belle Biv DeVoe and also what I want on my tombstone.
I'm Brandy Posey, and is it Tourette's if every time I see a Cybertruck, I have to yell stupid at it? I can't stop.
I'm Tess Barker, and put deviled eggs back in hell where they belong.
Oh, controversial.
Shots fired.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to lady, lady to lady.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Deviled eggs hater? I guess hater. I shouldn't know because it's mayo.
Mayo.
The mayo of it all. I see.
Really gross.
I bet you there's a way to make them with like an olive oil, like dill situation or something instead. Would that be open? Yeah. You just don't like a cold?
If there was no mayonnaise in it, I would eat it.
Okay.
But I find them pretty repugnant. Yeah. I mean, I don't need to see like egg reconstituted into different egg. Like it's
yeah, I mean, you're preaching
you
to my
people
to my choir.
Yeah,
100%.
I love them.
Yeah,
I do not like an egg salad either. Egg salad
fuck
sandwich?
No, absolutely not. Under no circumstance.
I get it. So you're not into like a hard, hard boiled.
I'll put hard boiled on my avocado toast sometimes, but the egg salad is mayo.
Yeah, see, I think I know what the version you're thinking of, and I get that that's gross, but I think that there are non-gross versions, you know, not like a soupy amount of shit. That's gross. Yeah.
Here's
when,
the thing.
Potato salad is like soup, is just too much.
Yeah.
Oh.
I see.
Yeah.
I
don't like salads that are just something swimming in mayonnaise. Like, I don't like.
Yeah.
Salad,
of course. That is gross.
Salad,
I agree.
Salad.
No, it is gross. A sparing sauce. Just like a little.
Yeah. I want a binder. Yeah. I don't need.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Binders full of potatoes is what I'm having.
Although, I will say, friend of the pod, Jessica, had a recipe for vegan deviled eggs.
Mm. Oh, with potatoes, right?
Potatoes instead of eggs. And that I was interested in trying.
Yeah, that's some good shit.
Yeah.
I saw somebody who was cleaning out a house of somebody who'd passed away recently, and his entire house was full of deviled egg trays. Like, they collected deviled egg
trays.
That's
scary. That's scary.
And they were every corner, every cabinet had a deviled egg tray in it.
That's a big 1950s energy. That feels like from the land of savory gelatins. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why? It's so funny.
What was happening?
Yeah. Did everyone just have all the cupboard space in the world? You just had different plates for a specific food?
Yeah, it is a weirdly specific serving. It's like you could just put this on a regular plate. It doesn't need the divots in there.
No.
Well, I think it's to zhuzh up the fact that you're serving disgusting food.
Yeah.
That's correct.
There was a lot of zhuzhing in the gelatin era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of attempting to pretend that what's happening is
polish a gelatin turd.
Yeah. Every year for, I think it's Christmas, Sarah Schaefer makes a disgusting old 50s recipe for their Christmas Eve, for the family to be let's try this weird hot tuna thing.
That's or fun. Whatever.
Yeah. It's always hilarious. And she does it. It's always just so gross. And then she films them, or her family eating it. They're always
none of them have been good.
It's a fun tradition. No. I like that.
Yeah. None of them have been good. Because
I think I've defended fruitcake on here before.
Yes. Yeah.
But my uncle has turned me into a fruitcake head. I look forward to it every Christmas.
Wow. I mean, I think that of a yeah, fruitcake. If we're looking at the gelatin generation of foods, fruitcake is top tier, I think.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, fruitcake can be redeemed. No fruit question. Because you're dealing with great ingredients from the start. With the other ones, you're not.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like it's like a bread. Bread is good. Fruit is good. Alcohol is good. What's not to
I will say, I did, so Jody Sweetin has this like live show called Family Dinner where everyone like brings a dish, and then she also has this part where she reads... She tells you a name of one of those old recipes, and then you have to guess what's in it.
Oh, that's fun.
And so many of them, I'm not kidding you, had these ingredients. Bananas.
Okay.
Shrimp. I don't know. That's all I can remember. But enough to be like, what is happening?
Multiple recipes had bananas and shrimp.
Two recipes had both bananas and shrimp.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. Well, there was something extremely wrong with us.
No, those are bad, bad combos. Yeah, bad combos. Not a fan. Yeah,
you know what it was? Mm. I think I'm just like kind of like putting two and two together here. This is back when women just had to be drunk and on pills at home all day. What do you think we're making for dinner? We've been drinking since 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, you wanted a steak?
Yeah.
Well, here's a look what you're going to get, motherfucker. Stick.
Yeah.
Here's a steak, but I'm going to wrap it around a banana, and then we're going to put that in the gelatin.
Okay, now I like it. As an act of resistance, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, it's an act of drunk resistance, which I'm always here for.
Yeah, okay. In that context, I believe in it.
All right, we take it all back. I'm still not going to eat it.
No.
Just follow Burn This Records. We've got albums and records coming out constantly. Dwight Simmons is available for pre-sale right now. He's an amazing comic out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Rena Hundred's album just came out last week. Thank you guys so much for buying it, because I know you did. Burn This Podcast is where I'm interviewing everybody that is on the label. So come and listen to tracks for free and then buy their stuff. We just recorded Tessa's album, which will come out later this year. Super fun. Please follow my shit. It would mean a lot to me. It really is helpful.
And it's very easy to do. You know, if you're looking for a way to support us, literally all you got to do is make like two clicks, basically. And that's a very good way.
Please.
Yeah, really does go a long way, guys.
It does. I am going to be doing some shows in the Pennsylvania area in May. So if you live around there, make sure you're following me to catch what my show dates are going to be. I'm still figuring them out, but they'll be random ones all over the place. So make sure to follow me if you're there and come out and say hi. Yeah. Also, we should shout out, we've got some new merch available for you all. Holy shit. We have a new hoodie. It says Keep On Cacklin', Lady very to Lady. Cute. It's very cute. It's gray with blue and yellow. And yeah, it's super fun. So you can get that in the Exactly Right shop. So go check that out and wear your lady to lady with pride and keep on cackling, you know?
Yes, I love it. It's like a little crappy situation. The fabric is great. Big fan. Go get a copy. Send us a picture when you do, too. We love seeing you guys.
Yeah. Take a pic. Listen to us as you're wearing the hoodie, taking a photo.
Yes, send us the photo.
Absolutely. Who do we have on the podcast this week?
Oh, what a fun. We had such a fun hang. You know this guest. You might know them from their they have various podcasts, Bad With Money, Just Between Us, and they also have a new movie that coming out that they talk about that sounds awesome that you can support. Please enjoy our hang with Gabe Dunn. Let's get back to talking. There was so much juicy shit going on.
I know.
And then we're like, we got to get to the pod. This we're so excited to have back on the show. Record. Gabe Dunn, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gabe.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. The conversation before this was so, we had like gossip. We had royal family. We had Kevin Spacey. We had, it had everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just
we like to start
baby.
The podcast off by giving our listeners just like a healthy dose of FOMO.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. For the listener, if you aren't aware, every time you sign on to Netflix and you hear that dun dun, that's the sound of Frank Underwood hitting the table in House of Cards.
Oh my God. Yeah. We were talking about if he gets residuals for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a big deal or not, right? Your residuals are still shit all the time, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's still streaming residuals, even if he is getting residuals for the dun-dun.
And then there's a part of me that's like, I don't know. Well, this is an interesting intellectual property question because it's also like, it could be the sound designer's IP.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, there's no lyrics. So there's no publishing to go.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel like sound designers never get cred. So no, they're definitely not getting it.
But like, that's not actually, it is like a sound effect, right? It's not actually how the gavel sounds.
Right. It's a sound effect.
Yeah.
It's called ta-dum.
Oh, it's ta-dum. Called ta-dum.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't say that's interesting because I don't consider it a ta-dum. It's more of a dun-dun.
It's a dun-dun.
But I think
dun-dun
is Law and Order. You're right. Yeah.
Right.
Have they copyrighted that? Probably.
Oh, they must have.
If they're
they absolutely must have. Yeah. Everyone's just sampling it in songs. There's a song that just samples both the Netflix and the Law and Order. It's just like going back and forth, and you're like, this sounds so familiar, and also like I'm sick.
Oh, man.
I have a question. Sick. Fuck, marry, kill. Netflix, the boom, boom, the Law and Order, boom, boom, and then the HBO.
Oh. Okay. Ooh. Wow. I think I would marry the HBO.
Yeah.
And then I would kill the Netflix and fuck the SVU. Is that bad?
I think it's taking agency of the SVU narrative, which I like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, and SVU is also like, that's a good, I mean, Mariska Hargitay, Chris Maloney, come on.
Ooh, yeah, you're getting a lot of energy there.
Absolutely.
I want to fuck the SVU, but if I'm being honest, I have to fuck Netflix. Because it's like, I know it's a bad idea. I can't stop myself.
This is like Mitt Romney
being
hot.
It's a fuckboy. Yeah.
You're like, I should be watching HBO, but they did put out a new Love is Blind.
Exactly. You fuck Love is Blind. Come on.
Sure. I can't. I like, it's funny to have like appointment TV again. Like for everyone to just be like, did you see the finale? Did you see the reunion? Mm-hmm. Like back on like a streamer.
It's
that's
great.
The thing. That's why people reality TV is it. Like, it's the new sports. Or maybe it's been
sports. It is. It's definitely my sports. Yeah.
Yeah, same.
I'm not tuning into the other sport.
I am, but.
I feel like, so I transitioned and I already knew a lot about Drag Race because I loved Drag Race and I still do. But I've realized that the only way to communicate with cis gay men is through Real Housewives references. And I don't have any. I don't watch the Housewives. So I oftentimes have no idea what they're posting about, no idea what they're talking about. What is the reference? I don't know. I feel like in order to like communicate and fit in and like maybe even date, I have to start watching The Housewives.
You know, Gabe, there's overwhelming because it's like trying to start Proust, right? Like it's very voluminous. But like I've seen on TikTok and Instagram, they will put like, here's like the 5 episodes of New York you have to watch. Or here's the 5 episodes of Beverly Hills. There's starter packs. So maybe just that way it'll be sort of like when you learn a couple phrases before you go to Portugal. You know, just
you
know how to order a Coke and how to go to the bathroom.
If you want to. I mean, it's you know, that's a lot to get into.
We need
daunting. It is another language, though. It's like truly another.
It's also very addictive. Like you only need to watch one and then the addiction kind of takes care of itself.
I feel like I'm like a newer, like I wasn't really into those kind of reality shows until the last few years. And so it's been funny like entering that world, you know, as someone who never watched them. So now it's like I do understand the memes. Or like,
exactly. You guys too. Yeah. And because I remember just the feeling of how overwhelming it is because it's like every city in America, they all have 10 seasons. Yeah.
Drag Race is like that too.
It is.
Yeah. And I watch the international seasons. Like I'm like, I have my WoW Plus, my WoW Presents Plus. I like got rid of Hulu, but I still have WoW Presents Plus. Like,
so you're committed to you've got your brand already. I think like maybe on the dating apps, you just need to be like, not real, Real Housewives Curious, but definitely.
Yeah, full Drag Race.
Full Drag Race.
Yeah. I know. It's funny, too, that people don't even realize stuff is from there or that people are famous from there. Like, I had a friend she was watching it all the way through, and then we got to like season 5, and she was like, "Jinx Monsoon is from Drag Race," and I was like, "That is so funny!" Like,
that's
the
crazy.
Crossover. Wow. Yeah,
oh my gosh. I kind of love that though. Like already loving Jinx, and then getting to see her origin story,
right?
And
people being like, "Kelly Clarkson's from American Idol,"
right?
You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like,
that's so funny.
One of my favorite versions of this is our friend Simone. This is so funny to me. Kevin Smith was like on a full season of Degrassi where they make a movie. They make like a Jay and Silent Bob movie in Canada.
Whoa.
And then they like take over the school. It's a very weird. I think he was a huge fan of Degrassi and he gets to do whatever he wants, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But she did not know who he was and thought that this was just a random man on this show. And this was like, I mean, this was like fully long after his, you know, many big hits of his career. Like, So I'm just dying laughing thinking her not knowing him until he was on like a teen Canadian drama show.
It's funny who is famous to, like, my ex just now. So like, I did a Seed and Spark for my movie and they have like a really great thing called the Patron Circle where like people who are successful will donate money to like these projects, you know, like they're dedicated to being a patron. And one of the people who donated to mine was Mark Duplass. And I was like losing my mind, absolutely freaking out. And my ex is like a software engineer. He doesn't know anything. And so he was like, "Who is that?" And I was like, "He's like the like father of indie, like he's like our savior of indie film. Like he's like a bit, you know," I was like freaking out.
Yeah.
And then
explain who Mark Duplass is.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, "He's like the guy. He's like the voice of indie film." And then my boyfriend's he was looking it up and he was like, oh, from the Mindy Project. And I was like, "No, not from the Mindy Project." And then he goes, to be fair, he goes, "Yeah, but I wouldn't recognize his face from being the voice of indie film. I recognize his face from the fucking Mindy Project."
Right. That's
so
fair.
But funny. That's still-
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Amazing.
Tell us about your movie, Gabe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going into production end of April, which is very stressful. But it's a independent, low-budget movie that I wrote and I'm directing. It's like my debut feature. It's about a girl who was a big-time pop star, and she transitioned. So she was like Justin Bieber, and she transitioned, and her career nosedived. And then she kind of went into hiding and is very, like, guarded. And she gets paired up by her record label head with his son, who's like a trans guy who was in like a lesbian punk band, who's got like addiction issues. And the dad is like, "Write her a song. Like, and if you do that, you can have your career back." And, you know, and so they hate each other. They're at each other's throats, whatever. They write really good music together and then they fall in love. And it's like classic rom-com where like she finds out he only did it for the dad and like
And that's so
and then
fun.
I'm really excited. It's like, I think one of the first ever trans man, trans woman romantic comedies like ever.
That's awesome.
So we're doing it on like a low budget. I wrote it to take place in a recording studio almost entirely. And so we have this gorgeous studio in Highland Park that, you know, it's been so lovely, like the community aspect, because like gay people don't have any money, but like everyone is like very, you know, like I'll work on this for free, or I'll do this or whatever you need. Or so, I mean, I hadn't really tapped my fan base in that way. Like I was, you know, I had done a bunch of shorts and YouTube stuff. And then I actually like fired my manager. And then the next day won Screencraft like 2024 spring film grant. So that was like the next morning,
which
was, like some grant money. So I've been like going back and forth, like getting money from grants and getting money from donors. And like, it's all coming together.
You've been kind of working at this for like several years and you're finally
I wrote the script, the first iteration in 2020.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. That's so huge.
Thank you. So it's changed a lot over the last like 4 years, and I'm still even like tinkering with it. And it's like five characters. I get to work with friends of mine who I was like on an improv team with 10 years ago, like a friend of mine, another girl who I've known from YouTube for like 10 years. And I had always been like, I want to put you in something or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, you know, I'm sure you guys know Oscar Montoya.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's in it. He's like, we awesome. Used to do improv together, like, you know, at the Pit in New York, like when we were babies. When like your phone like autofills with like pictures of the person or something, if you or I don't know if he had it as his photo for me or what. Or
whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It found this like picture of us from like 2012 where we're like late. I mean, it's got the Instagram filter, you know, like when everything had that like tone. And it's just us laying on the floor of the Pit. And I was like, babies. Aww. And also so 2012. I'm wearing like the most millennial like striped shirt from American Apparel. Like it's just like it's like a little time capsule.
Glasses. It's so like, funny because even when I think like I'm like I guess I'm like I don't think I really dress like super typical, but then you look at it and you're like, oh my god, it's so specifically this era.
Yeah. 2012.
I hear
hipster.
That's the era I might be stuck in because like I was looking up like fashion from 2012 and I was like literally it was like trying to find a an eyedrop in water. You know, I was like, this is exactly how everything looks to me now. Like
it's very subtle. Like I love those TikToks that are like dressing like it's 2012 and they look like they're in like business casual to go to the bar.
Company
or like,
realness, yes.
Yeah.
I still think this was hot, but it was like a circa, maybe it was more like 2010, but I used to go to the club. I like to get like a men's vest at the thrift store, kind of my bra showing through it. And then I would wear, I thought I invented this and maybe I did, but I would wear a tie as a belt.
Yes. and Avril Lavigne.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's so good.
Yeah. It's a vibe for sure. I haven't seen the tie belts come back. I believe in it. It'll come.
Maybe. They're did so you want to see other people wearing ties? Because when I would be at the club, everyone would come up to me and be like, that's such a good idea. I think it was before Avril Lavigne. Like, I was like known for my tie belts.
What city is this in?
West Hollywood.
Wow. Okay.
Like, okay, West Hollywood gays were complimenting me on my tie belt. Like,
I live in WeHo now, and I've like totally romanticized like WeHo in the early 2000s in my mind. It seems like it was.
It was.
Yeah. Give us a vibe.
Okay.
Tess.
Well, that was like, okay, you have to imagine this was like before Instagram popped off. So we had paparazzi everywhere. So it felt like a scene, you know? We had, I mean, this was like peak FUBAR.
Peak.
Yes.
FUBAR. We were playing, Britney Spears' Blackout had just come out, if you can imagine. This was fresh music.
This is everything
had a line.
I want.
Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan were out and about. I was stepped on by Paris Hilton being pursued by paparazzi. Yes. Yes.
Like when your parents are like, I saw the Rolling Stones or whatever. I'm like, who cares?
Like, Paris Hilton stepped on me running from
this
photographers.
Is incredible. My friend's husband was a club promoter back then, and I cornered him at a bar and was like, I need you to tell me everything. And the names. He was like, well, yeah, so Chase Crawford would come in, and I was like, gimme, the cast of Gossip Girl, the cast of the OC, what were they up to, where did you see Misha Barton? He was like, this is
Misha.
Really intense.
Yes, and everyone knew someone who was, like, doing drugs with Misha Barton. It was such a good time.
Classic
and
Misha.
And people would post things on MySpace, like, screeds on MySpace about, like, and it was, like, some famous actress. Oh my God, that time period is just, where is the period piece? I guess the bling ring was it.
Oh, that's true. But we need like a Studio 50. Wait, I'm like, is it Area 51, Studio 54? Okay, yeah. We need a
yes,
Studio 54 for WeHo. Like, we need our like Ledoux Studio 54.
Yes, that would be, yeah. I think we really need a great biopic or something
about
like Misha Barton specifically.
Yeah, or Bimbo Summit. Wow. That's a feature.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Bimbo Summit movie.
Oh my God. I also like, speaking of Drag Race, when you look back on like the early episodes, the way that they're dressed is so specific to me. Like the legalized gay flip-flops. Like it's just like a certain type of like spiky hair. Like it's just like, it's just so specific to me, and I can like almost like smell it. Like I love it so much.
Yes. Yeah, like graphic tees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. American Apparel had a big hold on the culture for a minute for sure.
I was obsessed with American Apparel. Ballet flats.
I have 3 American Apparel hoodies that I bought at the closing sale.
I kept one.
And I have them, and they're just being slowly doled out. And I'm like, you can't wash them, because they'll lose their softness. I love them so much.
I bought the red hoodie from American Apparel because Donald Glover had the red hoodie from American Apparel.
Oh.
And that's the time period.
Yes.
Like, fuck your astrological sign. What's your American Apparel hoodie color?
Red. Red because of Childish Gambino.
That's amazing. Great. Oh my God. Orange because of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh my God. Mine's turquoise because I'm obsessed with that color.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's not.
Yeah, mine was turquoise. We all had like a matching one too. I had the turquoise one too.
Was good. That was legit. They just fit
high waisted.
Like, yeah, mm-hmm. they got right into the armpit. You didn't look like a flying squirrel.
No. They were good. It's still very tight. I still wear it because it's like zip up, but it's tight. So you can like. Now in LA, is Los Angeles Apparel also American Apparel?
That's a great question.
They're trying to look like they are.
Yeah. The quality is not there though.
It's not there though?
No, I bought a few things and they're fine, but it's not.
Okay. Well, you
know. And I think it also harkens to like an era of like billboards being really important in LA, you know?
Yeah.
Because now it's like you don't really have anything that sticks out, but it's like we had The Room with Tommy Wiseau billboard. And then like obviously you've got Angeline billboards.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know. I haven't seen any of those for a long time.
I wonder how her budget is. I mean, but she must have gotten paid for all those like projects they made about her.
Yeah. The Emmy Ross one.
Billboard paid though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her husband was, or her boyfriend was funding the billboards.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
She's
a coffee bean and tea leaf girl. I know that she goes to one in the Valley. That I remember like we went and got coffee there one night, and they were like, Angeline was just here. I was like, I just missed an Angeline. I also used to do, this is a very like early odds thing. I used to do Pop Physique in Silver Lake, which speaking of iconic billboards of Los Angeles.
The Pop Physique billboard.
Yeah, Physique, but that was a big deal in Los Angeles.
Yes.
But across from the one in Silver Lake, there was a strip mall. And I would always see Angeline parked over there, but it was in front of a Baskin Robbins. And I was like, Angeline,
I know
like-
literally exactly where you're talking about. Exactly. I also went to that Pop Physique.
Yep.
also went to that Pop Physique.
Really but, hard to find parking around there.
Oh, yeah. So she was always parked in front of the Baskin Robbins. And I was like, I guess Angeline just really likes ice cream. Until somebody told me there was a crystal shop in that plaza. And I was like, oh, that makes so much more sense.
I can't believe that Baskin Robbins survived the pandemic.
It's still there. Yeah, I was just thinking about that because, like, this is, my neighborhood, and Pop Physique is now a Creation Organic.
Yeah.
I think that Baskin Robbins is, like, the only thing that is still the same.
Wow.
I'm, like, surprised.
Yeah, like, when's the last time you guys had Baskin Robbins? Like, not to be a
coastal elite. Because there's so many good ice cream places to go. I'm not going to go to Baskin
Robbins. I'm not going to waste ice cream on Baskin Robbins.
Unless it's like you want to get your friend like a nostalgic Fudgy the Whale cake or something.
Yeah.
Like I would do that.
That's true.
Yeah. That's
true.
I mean, if I'm going to go cheap, I'll do Thrifty, probably Rite Aid ice cream.
Thrifty over. Okay.
Chocolate malted crunch. I think fucks so hard.
I think people with kids are still going to Baskin Robbins because most ice cream places are like $6.
They're so expensive.
That's why. And not to be a bitch, but like, do you guys know, like, when you go to a kid's party, how disgusting the food is?
What do you mean?
Don't go to kids' parties.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're from here. You got friends.
I have like, I don't know. I don't go. No shade. Like, it's not. Don't go hungry. I'll just say this: if you go to a kid's party, don't go hungry. It's like. I don't know. It'll be like they'll give you Pizza Hut and Baskin Robbins.
Yeah.
Because
kids don't give a shit, right? I totally get it. No, but like adults with taste buds,
Mm-mm. No, that's a good call.
I'm imagining the little kid who wants a charcuterie board. Yeah. The little kid who wants a charcuterie board.
Exactly.
That's, when we were...
you'll eat a Lunchable and you'll be happy.
For Brandy's birthday, I was trying to push a an outing to like a theme... a golf and stuff or, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or like laser. A race car track.
Yeah.
But Boomers. And they all came with free pizza. And I was like, oh, God. I was like, pizza. I can't imagine what this pizza is going to be.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I've always wanted to have my birthday at Moonlight Roller Rink. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to do that, like rent it out.
That's a good idea.
You can't drink in there. But and they're like, you know, it's for kids. So they're like, and we provide cake and pizza. And I'm like, what's that going to be? What is that?
You could keep snack that. Bar,
yeah, the snack bar food.
I like movie theater food though. Like that I'm good for.
Yeah.
I do
But okay, so here's the thing that happened. Mm-hmm. So I have AMC Stubs. I'm a movie. I love the movies. I go to any movie, I'll sit in the theater and just in my mind be like, I love cinema. And it could be like Haunted Mansion by myself. Like I don't care. So I just love it. So I was there. So I was meeting a friend of mine to see Oppenheimer. And I was like, she was running behind. And I was like, oh, I've never gotten the pretzel here. And I don't know if you've ever gotten the pretzel at AMC. So I was like, oh, I'll have a pretzel, please. And I didn't know that it comes in it's so big. It's comes massive. In a pizza. It comes in a pizza box. Mm-hmm. It's a pretzel the size of a pizza. So they hand it to me and I'm like, oh. And so I go in and I'm like sitting in Oppenheimer with it like on my lap. And I'm like, okay. And like it's already started a little bit and my friend comes in late and sits down and so you can't talk. So I just turn and open this pizza-sized box with the pretzel. And she like looks over, maybe expecting a pizza or expecting me to not be holding a big box, which would be reasonable, and starts dying laughing. And it's like the first 5 minutes of Oppenheimer. So people are like, what the fuck is going on? It's just a beautiful nonverbal communication of like pretzel. Like, her being like, no.
Just slapstick snack humor at the top of Oppenheimer.
At the top of Oppenheimer, yeah. It was like any other movie, it would have been. The Toppenheimer.
Yeah, yeah.
Any other movie. So then I'm just sitting watching like a movie about this man unraveling for nuclear war, just eating like the biggest pretzel of all time.
You know what else stresses me out about that?
How was
the
pretzel?
How was it? Yeah, I want to know that.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay.
And then what stresses me out about that is not the size of the pretzel, but the size of the soda. You need to have the right soda pretzel ratio for that pretzel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, you need to get a cheese dip.
You need a cheese dip. Did you get a cheese dip?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like cheese dip and like mustard, maybe.
Okay.
Also, this is like my niche content about AMC. there's a new thing where in order to get soda, you need an app on your phone.
What?
Yeah.
People are like stealing it.
I don't know, but I was like livid, but I didn't have time. I was rushing to Love Lies Bleeding. But so there was like me and every other gay person. But so there was like, it's like the soda machine. And then I'm pressing touchscreen. Nothing's happening. So I'm like, that's weird. So then it's like, scan this QR code. I was like, okay. So I scan the QR code and it goes up on my phone and it's like the little options. And then when I put the cup under, if I hit Diet Coke on my phone, then it does.
And I was like, I'm against this.
How many people can we have fed for the amount it costs to develop the get soda from your phone technology?
I was so mad.
QR codes. You had your moment. It was the fucking pandemic. We would like our menus back and you can go away. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I was like, I think you can still. So I, of course, went down the line trying to see if they all would require me to do this. And not all of them did. They still have some regular ones. But I was like, I got to write a letter.
Dude, like the freestyle machine is already like there's already a lot happening.
Problem. Now I have to touch a touchscreen. What happened to the little I just wanted to push my little lever?
This is one of the few times I actually feel bad for boomers. Like if they're just trying to get a soda at the goddamn movie.
Can you imagine? And boomers love soda.
They love soda so much.
And it's
so
also just
barriers.
Like soda is so insanely cheap for these places to make.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like really you're creating a barrier between me and like the 0.01 cent you spent on syrup.
Truly, also, it's like a 3,000% markup. Like how much is a big soda at the movies? Like $9?
Like, and also like now you're tracking my personal information and my soda preferences. Like like, really?
They probably sold it to the companies as like, we'll be able to see who ordered Fanta and who ordered Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Because, because you say, can I have a Coke? They give you the thing and then you can mix Dr. Pepper. You can mix whatever you want in there.
Yeah.
But and they're like, well, how are we supposed to keep track of what to buy?
Might just check.
Capitalism.
I know. Ruining capitalism. Everything again. Mm. Nightmare.
I write in. I'm like, here are my complaints, AMC. One, the pretzels are too big. Two, what's with the Coke app? And three, I can't believe you changed the Nicole Kidman ad. So overall, as a Stubbs member,
I have to ask about this.
What were they thinking?
Wait, what happened? I haven't been since. So it's a new person, or is there's nothing or what?
No, it's her. It's shorter.
It's shorter.
They cut it down.
Yeah,
they cut it down into three different ones. They're shorter, and the movies on the screen are different now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like Creed, La La Land, Jurassic Park. Now it's a couple other ones.
Yeah, so annoying. Okay. But now she doesn't
don't fix it.
Heartbreak doesn't feel good in a place like this or whatever.
She says that, but she doesn't say like dazzling images on a silver screen. Like, it's not as fun. It's not funny.
You got to do the whole thing because it's so campy. You have to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, we need the whole experience.
It gets a round of applause. Why would you stop it? People are there for it. People are there for it.
Because some people were like, this is doing really well. What if we took this asset and made it three assets?
Right,
because
exactly.
Kids like bite-sized content.
What if we made more content out of this?
Yeah. Vultures. Idiots.
Well, also, they were like, I think also, like, we were worried that it would become a Mandela effect. Mm-hmm. Where it'd be like 20 years from now and people would be like, no, they were always 30 seconds. And then someone would be like, it was a minute. Yeah. And then they'd be like, where? Show us the evidence. And there would be people, we'd all be losing our minds. Our kids will be like, it's always been 30 seconds. And we'll like be on our rocking chairs being like, it used to be a minute.
Yeah. No, someone's got the footage. Preserve it.
Nicole Kidman's thing used to be, well, I heard that at the Super Bowl when Alicia Keys was off key, they went back and edited it, and now if you get the video of it or you watch it online, her key is on key. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, we're just creating Mandela effects.
Yeah.
That is wild. Yeah, that was really funny. She was like,
I missed it in real time. I think I was like at a loud party, so I didn't
It was intense.
Well, now you'll never see it. They've buried the footage. We all become conspiracy theorists. We're like, they buried the footage. It's a deep fake. And our kids are like, shut up.
Yeah, they're like, we don't believe anything. Nothing is true. Don't worry.
You're a deep fake. You're like, how do we know you're here?
That's true.
That part is true.
Is real.
Yeah.
Can I tell you guys, it's funny we're talking about Nicole Kidman because I had the craziest thing happen to me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not that crazy at all, actually. But I was shopping. I found this cute like consignment store down in Laguna Beach. And just as I was about to check out, I've never done this in my life, but I bought a pashmina. Never in my life.
Ooh.
And because I'm like,
I'm shocked you do not have.
Oh, I have a pashmina, they've been gifted to me. This is
you've never bought your own.
Yeah,
pashmina
is like tarot cards. It's supposed to just come into your life.
Exactly, exactly. But like, it was like cashmere. I really like the textile. It was like all these really pretty colors. And I never. I'm a cold person, and in the summer, I need something to cover me. You know. And so I was a little bit more expensive than I would usually spend for a giant scarf. But I was like, I'm just gonna do it. I already was stoked on this thing. Beautiful, soft material, bright, bold colors. I got home last night. I took it out of the shopping bag and I whooped it over my bed.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw the full image, what I thought was actually a random splattering of like modern brush strokes. This thing is a giant portrait of Virginia Woolf's face.
Okay.
Interesting. Huh.
I mean, that's funny because every photo I've ever seen of Virginia Woolf, she looks like she's in duress.
But it's in color.
She's in duress, but it's in color. Put that on a shirt.
Yes.
I think that's the theme of, that's like the plot of Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Exactly.
Wait, what? This is so funny.
Yeah.
That is really funny.
Let me see if I can get a picture into the chat.
I gotta see this because it's like, is it one of those things where someone, it's like a print shop where someone was like, how was this made?
It's beautiful. I mean, it's clearly like woven into the fabric.
When you wear it, do you see her face?
Someone did this like by hand?
Yeah, do you see it on the back of like her face is on your back?
Because of the way it's like full, like I didn't even notice in the store, right? Like it's like,
right.
If it's all like, because you know, like when you're wearing it, it's not, okay, got it to my desktop. We're so
yeah, you're not gonna be able to tell if yeah. you're wearing it. Yeah.
I'm just loving
that. That's also so funny that like, that like you walked out with it and someone was like, did that girl buy the, oh, it's like the scene and oh my God. It's like in Devil Wears Prada where you walk in wearing it and then Emily Blunt is like, is that the, and you're like, Virginia Woolf Pashmina from the thrift shop? Yeah, it is.
Yes. It absolutely is. So.
That's hilarious. Okay. We're making that meme and that's going to go viral. I'm just telling you. Yeah. Zero context.
All right. It's in the chat, guys.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh my God. We got a shared file.
I'm so excited. Oh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I'm glad it says Virginia Woolf because I would have gone Van Gogh with this one.
And I would accept that answer. Yeah.
As a Monty Python.
She is underdressed. She's underdressed.
And it's a color, right?
No, yeah.
Unfortunately, it is ugly.
I can just hear how unhinged your laugh was in your home when you saw this.
Was Sean like, it was already such a random purchase. He was, but I don't know if you quite understand the nuance of why it was so funny that I had just bought a giant pashmina of Virginia Woolf's face.
Yeah.
This is so funny. I can't.
This is like, insane.
This is very clearly homemade.
Yeah.
And also, like, not well. She looks horrifying.
She does, but it's kind of like a little secret I'm going to have because when it's folded, it just looks like splashes of color. Like, you
yeah,
only
I can
I
tell.
Will know.
Yeah, like, you
okay, well,
see it. We're going to need
you're
to
like, someone's about to, like,
too.
Rob you, and you're like, hold on, you take it out. It's like a bullfighter. Yeah. They're like, scary.
It's amazing. Oh, my God. She's giving Ruth Bader Ginsburg a little bit, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that. It's also just why the long face, you know?
I know. This is
this
so
is wild.
I think it needs a room of its own.
Wow.
I think we should spend a lot of money to make our own version of this merch.
Yeah. Is it copywritten?
Yeah.
There's no way.
Put it into a Google reverse image.
Oh, ooh, good idea.
See if
yeah,
it pops
because
up
it's
somewhere.
Like this. I don't know. Think this is homemade. I think that this was a mass. Someone made more than one of this and it's for sale somewhere.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it had tags on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was manufactured.
We find out it's like $4,000.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I know. I'm going to be so pissed.
Ooh, yeah. You need your Antiques Roadshow with this pashmina. Mm-hmm.
You bring it to Antiques Roadshow. The guy's like, I actually can't look that in the eye. It's actually with this, it has the soul of Virginia Woolf in it, actually.
Yeah, this is too stern for me. I can't.
Is it on Google image search?
I'm feeling like, okay, from camera roll, how do I upload?
You could also probably Google those words together. I don't know how many of those exist, but
Virginia Woolf Pashmina, my lesbian folk band.
That hit me right in the Virginia Woolf Pashmina.
That was my AOL screen name for a long time.
Yeah. Virginia Woolf Pashmina 143.
Nothing is coming. It's not, things are coming up, but not my Virginia Woolf Pashmina.
Not yours.
Wait, okay. Virginia Woolf portrait scarf.
That's got to be it.
No, it's not it.
A different one.
A different Virginia Woolf portrait.
I'm impressed,
scarf.
You know?
How
who the lesbians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lesbians didn't come to play. They made this in like a class. Like it's like Gen X lesbians and they are like in a class to like really discover each other before they get married. They've known each other for like 3 months and one of them paints this.
Yeah. They're like, oh.
Oh, thank you.
Moved in quite
you shouldn't have.
Oh my God. This reminds me of I saw this tweet the other day that had been deleted, but someone had screenshotted it. This woman was like, all these 40-year-old men wearing the Nirvana brand really need to get with it and get like a style of their own, because that's the younger generation's thing. And like, they called it Nirvana brand. They didn't know.
That's so
babies. It was a band that happened and was fine. Yeah. Yes. Google Nirvana.
It was so funny.
Wow. Tin Eye searched over 66 billion images and didn't find any matches.
Wow.
All right.
This is one of a kind.
Wait, do I have like a commissioned piece on my hand?
This is cursed. this is a cursed image.
You go back to the shop. The shop isn't even there. Like,
oh my God. Yeah, it hasn't been there in 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wait, what?
The ghost of Virginia Woolf is like next to the beach wearing a high collar dress. Dourly.
Yes. You're like, I'm wearing, why when I'm wearing this do I feel the urge to walk into a lake? Yeah, there's no image. There's no match. Okay, that's spooky AF. I don't love that.
Yeah. For there to not be anything is really.
I also thought you were going to say that it was the scarf of Nicole Kidman.
I mean, that would also be really special.
Yeah. I was like, what era Nicole Kidman?
I know. I would want it.
It feels a little like her.
Yeah. There's a hauntedness about it that echoes Nicole.
Yes.
Well, she played Virginia Woolf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she, in a, what's it called? Prosthetic nose?
The prosthetic nose.
The OG prosthetic nose.
She won an Oscar for that nose, right?
Did she?
Isn't that what she won an Oscar for? I'm pretty sure that's the role she won an Oscar for. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really liked The Hours, actually, when I was in high school, which is kind of strange.
I did, too. I never saw it. It's good.
Yeah, it's good.
I definitely have a photo with Nicole Kidman a few feet away from me at Sundance from years ago.
She's another tall queen, right? Like, is she tall or is Tom Cruise just short?
She's tall.
Okay.
She's tall.
She seems tall. I think he's also short. I think
That was my favorite combo, was going to AMC to see the new Top Gun, because it had her intro and then he had his weird intro for Top Gun where it was like, this is an American movie. It was a very
And he goes, there's real planes in this movie. And like, honestly, it did get me pumped.
Real planes? As opposed to what?
Did you see Top Gun in the theater? The new one?
No, the Maverick? I did not.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, he starts out, there's a little teaser and he's like, hey guys, just want to know, in this movie we use real planes and they do like cool stuff.
That's so weird.
How do you as a podcast feel about Glenn Powell?
Glenn Powell from It's Always Sunny? No, wait. Who's Glenn Powell?
Perfect. And see, no notes.
Yeah, Glenn Howard. Love him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The guy from the beady-eyed one from Top Gun.
Okay.
The blonde. The adult blonde man. Grow up.
I obviously have no feelings about it.
Zero opinion. I haven't seen Maverick. This is, looking him up is the first time I've ever seen him. And I think he has a Zach Braffness about him.
Oh, interesting. That, wow, like, what a compliment to Zach Braff.
I can't think of a blonde Zach Braff.
I think he has like a Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
That's probably why they hired him.
It's kind of those two. There's a few photos where he's smiling and he has a Zach Braffness that's very weird and unsettling, I find.
I think he's handsome.
I don't understand how men become movie stars.
I know, or anything.
Like, why this guy? Like, they just kind of pop up, and then you're like,
yeah, you're right. It's a little, like, they kind of come out of nowhere sometimes, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and they also
kid are you
for this. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I'm literally looking at his Wikipedia.
For the longest time, I couldn't have told you anything about, like, what Jason Statham looked like. I just knew that he was Jason Statham.
Oh.
He's bald.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's bald and British.
He's very good at jujitsu and shit too, though. He's like a really. I think he was really high up in like the martial arts world or something.
I like that.
That I respect. I like.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer. So I watched all the Wes Anderson shorts. And Dev Patel is acting. He's acting circles around everyone in those. Sorry to Benedict Cumberbatch. And he's the new movie coming out. And apparently he's like a martial arts guy. He's been a martial arts guy this whole time. We didn't even know.
Cool.
Hmm. Is that that new Jordan Peele movie?
Monkey Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I literally only saw a poster for it, but I was like, Jordan Peele, I'm in.
Well, he should be, but Dev Patel should be way more famous. He's very good looking and he does martial arts. What more are we asking for? What does Glenn Powell do? Nothing. He has beady little eyes.
His father is an executive coach. I don't know what that means.
It's like one of those people who gets paid by rich people to like tell them what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, hey guys, you want to, here's my executive coaching. Cast my kid in some stuff.
Yeah.
He's got a real winning charm. Look at him. And they're like, I guess an adult blonde man, sure.
Yeah, that does look like a man.
The only blonde
that is okay, man, is Ian Ziering. You know, that's the only blonde man I'm taking.
He has great.
Who's that?
Ian Ziering is from Steve Sanders from 90210.
Steve.
You remember Allison, my podcast co-host, she got married and her husband is she's never dated a blonde guy ever. And her husband is blonde. Mm-hmm. And his best man was this woman who's really funny screenwriter. And she gave like a speech and she was kind of roasting him. And every part of the speech was just like, and again, he is an adult blonde man. Why are we trusting this? It was so funny. Grow up.
That's hilarious.
I thought it was great.
Oh my God. Yeah. My boyfriend is blonde, but he's premature gray too. So the more gray he gets, the happier he is. He's just like, I'm getting further and further from being full. For being a blonde man. No, he does not want to be a blonde man.
Wait, is this a thing? Like, are men ashamed to be blonde?
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of silly. They look like babies.
Yeah. They don't seem like adults, I think. And it's like Kurt Cobain, I think, was maybe one of our best.
Sure.
I feel like we're ignoring the Ryan Gosling elephant in the room.
That's true.
I don't consider him a blonde, though, really. Like, I think he's a brunette, naturally, isn't he?
Gosling?
No, he seems blonde. It's blonde is maybe an energy.
Yeah.
He feels blonde.
I will tell you this. I will never forget. You know that it used to be, he's blonde, you guys. I just Googled him.
Yeah, he's blonde.
He's super blonde.
He's the best of the currents. Yes, for sure.
That place on Cahuenga and Selma that used to be a crepe place that had good coffee.
Solar de Cahuenga.
Remember how I had those like little rooms that were like meditation cushions you could sit on, like on the ground? Mm-hmm. I was in that room alone working on my laptop. And one other person came into work, and it was fucking Ryan Gosling.
And what?
He my sat God.
In that room across from me on his laptop. My temperature.
What was he doing on his laptop?
I don't know.
I
just imagine he's just typing like all work and no play makes Ryan a dull boy just over and over again.
I think he's just typing his own name over and over.
Yeah.
What's happening? Like business.
Yeah.
But you guys, like,
what do you have to do on a laptop, please?
I know you're fucking
touch
Ryan.
A laptop. Yeah. Please.
I'm playing solitaire. I'm just he's doing the big screen.
Eva Mendez is like, stop making party invitations on Canva. Enough. Come to my house.
No, he uses MS Paint.
He's drawing in MS Paint.
He plays Minecraft.
That's so funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he just has like a laptop from 1998, but it looks like a current one because he's like
playing Pong.
Yeah.
He's watching Minecraft playthroughs. It's like, what are you doing, my man?
Yeah, what could you possibly be doing on the laptop?
Watching compilations of like his own funniest interview moments.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. I don't remember that one, but that was fun.
Yeah.
Should we do a lady problem?
Let's do it.
I think so, yes.
Let's solve someone's problem. Let's solve every problem in the world right now. If you have one, send it to us. We need some, actually. So, look, if you got a problem, we got an answer. Give us a call at 323-6-BUT-30 or write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. problems? Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Is that Tess singing?
It's all of us singing.
It's all of us.
Tess is whispering at the end, though.
Tess is the whisperer, yes.
Yeah,
got
yes.
it, got it, got it.
Okay. Hi, ladies. I have a lady problem for you. It's a little long, but juicy, I promise. My old BFF yeah. introduced me to her brother 21 years ago, and he and I have been together ever since. The trouble is, the BFF never really accepted our relationship, and as a result, the friendship between us has waned, and it's been painful at times.
After 21 years?
Yeah.
Also, that's amazing. Your BFF becomes your sister. What is wrong with you? Anyway, go on.
Yeah, I know. Pre-pandemic, she and I had a massive blow-up, which has resulted in an official estrangement between us and also between her and my husband, which I feel partly responsible Ooh. For. It's a classic beef triangle. It's hard to summarize all that went down over the years before the blow-up, but to suffice it to say, she was extremely hurtful to me many times over the years, to the point that I now believe she is a narcissist and is incapable of real friendships. I always did the best to be there for her, the classic too nice friend that inevitably gets walked on, but she was behaving so badly that it felt like the last straw, and I kind of lost it spectacularly. The thing is, I know she's a nightmare, but I totally spoke out of turn. I wish I'd silently removed myself from the situation somehow, but I just had a Ned Flanders level explosion instead. We haven't seen or spoken since, aside from angry texts from her and an email to my husband to say she thought it would be better if I wasn't part of the family. Charming. We already Jesus. Knew that. Yeah. Now the time has passed. I've moved on and just wish her well. Whatever. The thing is, I've wanted to write to apologize for ages, but I don't want to rekindle any kind of argument or friendship. I want to take responsibility for my actions because I'm a mature adult and just manage the situation since we're family. How would I say, sorry I was a dick that one time, but also you were a shitty friend, so I guess no one's perfect. Let's just keep it to Christmas cards, okay? But in a good way? It's been so long. Is it too long? And are letters in danger of being misinterpreted? And could I be opening myself up to more psycho hose beast text attacks? Or is this all a lost cause and I should just enjoy my newfound peace? I would love to hear the wisdom on this uptight mess. Love you, ladies.
No, because with someone like that, if you admit you did one thing, they feel completely vindicated. And then it's just, you're thinking of this person as yourself. You're thinking of what you would want. And what you would do and what your reaction would be to this. And the time and time again, this person has shown that they do not share. They do not think the way you think. Unfortunately, if you're a nice person, sometimes you're naive and you're like, I'm very nice. Surely other people are nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't make that mistake.
Big mistake. To
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's like, what is going to possibly happen? The best case scenario will be like sort of what you already have, which is like this, this no relationship with like some pretty big boundaries in place. Like, what more would you want? Do you want her in your life any more than you already have her? It doesn't sound like it. And yeah, I mean, no. I think with someone who has repeatedly not respected your boundaries and repeatedly been kind of like weird and abusive towards you, like the only thing you can do is just carve out space and manage it. There's no engaging with this type of person because like Gabe said, like that will be weaponized against you. All you can do is not feed the fire.
Yeah,
I think talk to your husband if you feel guilty. Talk to him and be like, "How do you actually feel about this? Mm-hmm. Like, don't spare my feelings. You know, just like, are you sad? Do you think about it? Like, and then you don't have to triangulate. Like, if he wants to chat to talk to her, if you're like feeling at peace with it." And he's like, I actually want to reach out. Be like, that's on you, man.
Yeah.
You do it then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's your relationship with her. Mine is as is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a triangle beef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, Gabe kind of covered this, but I think, you know, so often in these positions where you're thinking about the other person as though they are logical.
Yeah.
Or, you know. Like, and a lot of times they just aren't, or their reaction just is not something that's like going to match up to what you're expecting. And after a long time, you can kind of forget that people are like that. And you think that maybe it's different or something, but it's usually not. Like, they're usually, you can't think of it in a way where you can expect what their, you know, response is going to be, because it's always going to be something crazy that you're like, oh, this was not okay. Like,
yeah,
right, think, right.
Yeah.
They don't react to things the way, you know, in a certain way that I'm expecting.
Time away from someone like that too, you might be like, oh, were they even, you doubt yourself, were they even that bad? Yes. I don't know. Maybe they weren't. like with one of my exes, I'm like, no, like they maybe they weren't that bad. And then like you start talking to them and you're like, oh, right.
Yeah. It's like when you think it's going to be funny to go to Olive Garden as a joke and then you sit there and you're eating like airplane food, garlic bread. And it's like, I've moved past this in my life.
Wow, Olive Garden's gonna come for you.
Wow,
come for me. I don't care. I went to multiple dinners there before homecoming dances. I've done my time.
Yeah. Wow,
not a good Olive ironic Garden dinner.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. We did Shake Shack.
Shake Shack is worse. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fast casual. You know what I mean? It's exactly. Definitely just fast.
No. Yeah, that's fine. That's like cute. Too expensive. That's what teenagers should eat. Yeah, Shake Shack is expensive.
I think so. For like what you're getting.
Wait, no, not Shake Shack. What am I thinking of?
Johnny
Rockets?
Oh my
God, no, not Shake Shack. No. It's
like an Olive Garden? Oh my God.
No. It's like a Florida milkshake fast food.
Johnny Rockets?
No. Oh my God. No, wait. I'm freaking out.
Is there a shake in the name?
Shake and shake.
Oh, shake.
Steak and shake. Yes.
Oh, okay. My God. I almost had like an aneurysm. Steak and shake.
Oh, I remember when Steak and Shake came to Maryland, the line was like half a mile long. Wow. It was a big deal.
Holy crap. Yeah. How dare I confuse them?
Yes, yes.
I was like, yeah, I guess Steak Shack. I don't know. Shake Shack. I don't have a lot of
opinions. This may surprise everyone, but I've never been to or been aware of something called a Steak and Shake.
I don't think it's in West Coast.
Do we have them in California?
No. The guy who founded it is named Gus Belt.
That's a great name for the founder of Steak and Shake.
Yeah.
Gus Belt.
Good for you, Gus. I mean, probably like one of the more successful Gus's, I would imagine. Good for him.
Yeah.
Hey, we had a Gus discussion. We discussed Gus recently on here.
Discussed
as
Gus.
A baby name.
Yes. And
did.
I think we've got, that's going to be a very successful Gus. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, 100%. I'm just saying the bar is at Steak and Shake founder. So for that help. new Gus out there.
What an unhinged man. He ran a combination gas station chicken restaurant with his wife Edith before opening Steak and Shake. Who thinks like, oh, you know what? Gas station, chicken restaurant.
That's the way KFC started too.
What? Is these
it?
Are mad
but there's
men.
So many gas stations that are like best chicken sandwich in town.
Yeah.
Like it's
okay,
it's
but
still
don't
a thriving you, industry.
I Gus will Bolt, say this.
Gus Belt biopic starring Glenn Powell.
Yes. Man, we're pitching so much good content.
That is a blonde man thing to do.
For sure. What were you going to say, Tess?
Like when, of course, like normally I'm not excited by gas station food, but like when there's a sandwich place in a gas station that like has a line, I kind of trust it more because I'm like, if people are willing to get their sandwich at this gas station, it's probably a really good sandwich.
Oh, yeah. I think sometimes I love a Wawa.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a couple taco stands that are in gas stations in Maryland that are really good. Every once in a while, my favorite is if you're like, ooh, there's food in this gas station. And then you turn and on the wall, spray painted, it's just a picture of Guy Fieri. Has you guys ever come across a Guy Fieri spray painted?
A Guy Fieri pashmina? Stencil? Is there a Guy Fieri pashmina?
Well, we're just
Guy Fieri pashmina. Ska band. It immediately becomes a ska band.
Yes, it does.
So weird. Virginia Woolf pashmina, definitely lesbian folk. Guy Fieri pashmina, ska.
Yeah, that's just the rules. That's just the rules.
Wow. We did not give this woman enough advice.
We're coming back.
When I Google Guy Fieri Pashmina, you don't get a Guy Fieri Pashmina, but you do get a picture of Shrek in a flame shirt. So
same thing.
Oh. It's nice.
It's a similar energy.
Yeah, similar energy.
But yeah, I will say to the listener.
Yeah.
I understand how it is to feel guilty after you kind of like blow up, you know, because I've been there, I've done it, and it's not something I'm like proud of. It's unfortunate when you're a position where you kind of like it happens because you do. It's like a relationship where, you know, it's hard to express yourself because maybe she was not giving you that room to do that. Or, you know, as you said, maybe she has narcissistic tendencies. So. But like it is what it is, you know, it happened. Like, don't try to get too down on yourself for that outburst. Like you're a human being. It happened. Yeah. Don't let that be the thing you keep coming back to
Well, and I think you can take take a beat also and be like, okay, at what point could I have spoken up for myself, or what could I learn from this moment? Like, what?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, when should I have spoken up for myself?
Prevent that
from happening in the future. Like, totally. that's your lesson to take away from it. That way you've also learned something from it. And like, it's been 21 years and she's just been a nightmare this entire
time. I can't believe she's upset about it's been 21 years.
21 years ago, I can't believe. 2000. George Bush was president and she started being a bitch. Like, please. You know what I mean?
There's
like,
so many good. That's such a great quote. George Bush was president and she started being a bitch. 21 years to be upset about your friend dating your brother? Like, chill out.
Yeah.
It's like creepy. And like that, exactly. Like, that was an opportunity just to be like grateful and excited.
Yeah.
They're literally married. Like, enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. Yeah. When she texted your husband, she wished you weren't in the family. Like, that is a clear not respecting of like your marriage and your relationship and what it means to be married. And that was like another point in the letter where I was just like, no, you can't talk to this person.
No,
like,
especially if you have kids, it's like a bad example too.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't want you in the family. And it's like, why does Aunt Linda like not want me in the family? Like, it's not nice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's really shitty. Like, family stuff
is
so stressful because it is like, you do need to draw these boundaries and you don't owe anyone shit just because you're related to them. But like, there is this thing of like, you can't totally
act like this person.
You're
going to
see each other. Yeah.
Weddings, funerals.
Yeah.
Funerals.
Yeah. Like just be courteous and that's all you can do. It's like, they don't deserve any of your attention or your time, you know?
No, not at all. This is, I mean,
maybe have a really big 20-second wedding anniversary party, take a bunch of photos, put them all on like Facebook and Instagram, and then just tag her only.
So funny. Take a bunch of unflattering pics of her.
Looks like we made it.
Exactly. Wow. Look at us. Still together. Still doing great. It really is crazy that anyone would have a problem with this. Yeah.
Change the lyrics to be about her. Just like,
so glad
look
we
how
hate
far
you.
We've come, Aunt Linda. Aunt Linda said, I'll bet.
You know, it's funny.
Never make it.
I have.
Who's her favorite singer? Who's her favorite singer? Pay a cameo of her favorite singer to sing that to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. I love that. I also think that this, I mean, you know, if you wanted to be evil and do a Cold War, I think like you just need to win the daughter game like that. That's a fun game.
Make the daughter love you. Yes.
Yeah.
Make the daughter love you. That's so smart.
Be the best daughter-in-law possible. Which I bet you are.
I guarantee she's already winning this. So.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. I'm sure she is, too. Because
she's a considerate person.
Yeah, she's not a nightmare.
Oh, I thought you were saying try to win over her daughter. Like, if Linda ever has kids, pick them up from school, take them to ice cream and a theme park, baby.
Win the daughter game. Adopt her
adopt her child.
Become her.
Yes.
Become her mother.
Steal her thunder at every moment.
That's so funny.
Yeah. No.
Well, yeah, good luck. You can move past it. And it's just going to be one of those things that pops up in your head sometimes that makes you feel shitty. And
Yeah. The way that you can make amends is by learning from it and not doing that in the future and figuring out, you know, where did you not respect your own boundaries down the line and just work on those in the future.
Photoshop her out of the wedding photos.
Yeah.
Put in Shania Twain. Who cares?
Google.
That would go viral. I'll tell you that right now. Put it on TikTok.
The cheetah outfit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's go, girls.
Guy Fieri Pashmina, and then put that Shrek over her in the wedding pictures. That's great.
Did you see Lucas Gage, the actor? I like know him a little bit, but he got married after 3 months, they got divorced after 6 months, and he put out an apology to Shania Twain, who performed at his wedding, and was like, I'm so sorry. This did not last. Like, he, as a joke, he was like, I'm so sorry.
That's hilarious.
That was unhinged of me to do.
I mean, not to the guests or anyone else, just to Shania Twain.
Yeah, he was like, sorry about that. I the best I can come up with it was a manic episode, but thanks for performing anyway.
I mean, to have Shania Twain perform at your manic episode. I wish I had
Shania Twain manic money. Damn.
Yeah. Right?
Damn. Blonde man strikes again.
Blonde man strikes again. Yeah. Like Florida man, but it's blonde man. Yeah. That's so funny. So silly.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I love that.
Well, oh Gabe, gosh. This has been a blast. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Start to our day.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tell everyone where they can see updates about your movie and anything else you have going on.
Yeah, you can find the movie at youandmefilm.com. And I'm on Instagram at Gabe S. Dunn. And the film's there at youandmefilm. But you can find me on Instagram. And then if you have anything you want to say about the movie, donate, help, email me at gabe@youandmefilm.com. Or if you go to the website, there's a link there. You can donate tax deductible, which is very cool, awesome. Through Film Independent. Yeah. So yeah, and I do a podcast called Just Between Us. I also do a podcast now with River Butcher called The New Guys, and I do, yeah, it's fun. And then I do, Bad with Money, which is my show that I've had for forever. Mm-hmm. I think that's all of it. And Just Between Us is very fun. It's with my co-host I talked about, Allison Raskin. So
yeah.
Oh yeah. We've had Allison on. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Thank you. It's always a delight to see you.
So much fun.
Yes.
Yeah. And thank you, everybody, for listening and being great.
Yep. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Done.
Bye.
Done.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. I was just recently... listening to your episode with Caitlin Cook, so the one that just came out. And I just need to make my opinion known that the golden Oreos are the best fucking Oreos, and they should not be slept on, and they definitely taste different. So all of y'all are wrong. I love you. But all of y'all are wrong, and they're the best Oreos in the fucking world. Okay, have a wonderful day. I appreciate you all, and thank you. Goodbye. Hi, it's me again, golden Oreo lady person. I came in real strong in my last voicemail. I decided to pull some friends, and apparently, it's me. I'm the one keeping the Golden Oreo franchise afloat. It's just me. Everyone else hates them. So, this is upsetting news. Anyway, I just needed to give you that update about the Golden Oreos. I still think they are the superior Oreo. I don't care what anybody else says. Give them a try sometime, because they're really good, especially dunked in milk, because I am that bitch that dunks my sweets in milk. All right. Well, bye again.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy. And give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.